Joe Biden has fallen. This is the news, according to me. Well, apparently there's been a little tumble involved in the Biden administration. Not just one little tumble, it's three, going up steps. Yeah, I'm in a hotel room now, so I'm not in my car anymore. I'm drinking sweet tea, but it's sweet tea that I made at home, because nobody makes it like home. I don't know what it is about sweet tea. It's not that difficult. You know, you take a pound of sugar. You put the pound of sugar in a little cup, and then just dribble some water in there, and color it brown. That's really all it is. But for some reason, some of these food chains seem to have an issue. Seem to have a little bit of a problem, of some kind with this stuff. It really isn't that difficult, folks. I don't know. You know, I think what they've done is they've made the process a process. And I think that's where the problem comes into it. They process the tea, the leaves themselves. As from what I can tell, they use some kind of a mix in a bag a lot of times now. And so what that amounts to is they have this bag full of concentrate or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. And I think that they don't really steep the tea. They don't do anything like where they take tea leaves and actually steep them in hot water, apparently. I really don't know, but it just seems like there's something weird going on. Because it seems like it's more of an issue of they just grind up these tea leaves, they pulverize them into little bitty tiny powder or whatever they do, and then they put that in water. And I don't know what kind of tea they're using, what kind of tea leaves they're using, or what kind of tea they're using. The only really good sweet tea, in my opinion, out there that's in the fast food restaurants right now is Chick-fil-A. Seems to have about the best sweet tea. For a long time, I thought it was nice that, McDonald's. Down in the South, when I would go down to Norfolk, which I would go down to Norfolk all the time. And their McDonald's there had sweet tea. It was the only place in the country that I knew of. And I know there's a lot of places down in the deep South there where the McDonald's would have sweet tea. Every place had sweet tea. And they didn't have it there. They didn't have a problem with it there, is what I'm trying to say. They didn't, it's like the sweet tea was just like I would make at home, pretty much. I mean, it was pretty close. It was like somebody there, because, they're tea connoisseurs there. They know what sweet tea is supposed to taste like. Can't pull anything over on them. And now, of course, sweet tea is available everywhere that you find at McDonald's. You can get sweet tea. And for a while, it was a buck. All their large drinks were a dollar, which was a good deal. I think they've changed that policy, as far as I know. And so now it's like sort of like the dollar store. Everything's a dollar. This is not, now it's everything's $10. And when the minimum wage goes up, it's going to be everything's $20. But the interesting part about that is that they, you go to a store someplace now, you see them make the tea. It's like, well, that doesn't look normal. And none of it tastes good. Culver's is a place I like to go to. Their tea does not taste like tea from home. Now, I use Lipton. I'm kind of a black tea guy. I just like Lipton tea. I steep it in hot water for a little bit. And then I dump a bunch of sugar in it. And, it's proportional. I mean, you can get it. You can almost get it too sweet if you're not careful. But that's just perfect right there. So I don't understand. I don't know if it's the freshness that's an issue, or if it's just the type of tea leaves they're using, or if it's the process. But it just doesn't have that kind of flavor. Now, there are some restaurants out there that also... in fact, Hacienda in our area seems to do a pretty good job with sweet tea. Kind of depends on who's making it, I think. And sometimes it depends on... whether or not they keep their containers clean. I don't think they realize that those have to be scrubbed because they actually develop mold. Well, it's not really mold. It's a coliform bacteria that they will develop. And it tastes, you know, you get that old tea taste. It kind of tastes kind of coliformy. That's a word now. It has that coliformish taste. And there is that issue. But I digress. We have news to talk about. And so we're gonna dive right into that. Now, see, the reason that you're listening to this is because not because of the tea. It's because there's no bumper. You know, well, there's. I take that back. There's some bumper music. I don't know what's in my throat. Apparently, a cheese curd gets stuck in there. I'm in Wisconsin, by the way. That's why there's cheese curds everywhere. You look under a rock and there's cheese curds there. They grow everywhere. They just spring up from the ground, grow on trees. They're everywhere. The interesting part about this is the news cycle is just, there's a lot of little stuff. Now, it would not surprise me that some of this stuff is happening to cover up other things. Because there's a lot going on in Congress right now. And, of course, nobody's talking about those things because Joe tripped up some steps three times in a row. He was going up the plane steps, the airplane steps to Air Force One. Somebody pointed him in the right direction. He was all by himself, going to run up the steps. He starts going up the steps, kind of trips and stumbles a little bit. And then he starts going again, and he trips and stumbles again. Yeah, even further down. The last time he trips, goes all the way to the ground on his side. Not down the steps to the ground, but down onto the steps. He's about halfway up the steps, the air stair there that they were using. It's a lot of steps to get up that thing. I tell you what, that's... Now, the question is, he had that foot injury, supposedly, from his playing with his dog. The dog that attacked a Secret Service agent, apparently, or something. And the dog, I don't know how, he says he was playing, he got getting out of the shower and he pulled its tail. This sounds like something that a wacky crazy person would do. Joe seems like one of those individuals. He's like the wacky uncle who would get out of the shower and run around naked. I think it was funny. That's just what I imagine he would do as he's sniffing your hair. Hey, I just got out of the shower. Can I sniff your hair? He just reminds me. I'm not saying he is that way. I'm just saying he reminds me of someone who would be that way. So I'm not accusing him of being that way. Not that I've ever known anybody that would do that. It's just, I've just heard stories. But he had that injury to his foot. Now, I don't know if that was a contributing factor to his ability to get up the steps. If he's having some issues there, or something was going on. I don't know if if he's got some numbness in his leg or if he's not quite fully recovered from that. He's wearing that little booty for a while. I don't know what was going on there. But he tripped and fell three times, and that's all the news. Now, is it possible that Joe just did that on purpose to take all the emphasis? Now they may use this as he had an injury. Now he can't do a press conference now. There's this other thing. Speaking of press conferences, there's this other thing that's going on with this press conference thing where he walks up to a bunch of microphones, a couple of microphones, and supposedly the press is standing there, and he goes over and they ask him two questions. Two different questions. One is, I can't tell you right now. And the answer was, I can't tell you right now. I'm not going to respond to it or not have a response to it. And the other one was, no, there's no report. So it's just basically it was nothing. And then he walks off. It looked like he was kind of walking up to him initially to say, which way do I go to? I have to change my diaper. And then they started asking him questions. That's the look he had on his face. I know that look, by the way. When I was a child, I had that look on my face. My diaper needs to be changed. I was about, 1 year old. amnesty's coming, folks. Let me just tell you, amnesty's coming. there was an interesting thing that the Department of Homeland Security said. Now, I saw a headline, and I kind of put this in the headline of this this podcast, and it's just to just kind of prove a point. Department of Homeland Security, the headline I read said, now this is a good example of why you shouldn't just read headlines like I do. Because when I read it, I knew there was probably more to the story, and I wasn't going to really, didn't really want to talk about it much until I heard more about this. I heard the actual interview, what he actually said. And he talked about, now we don't want people sending their children to the border. However, if you do, we will not turn them away. We will take them in and we will find parents for them. This is going to go wrong in so many ways. You're sending unaccompanied minors to the border with the hopes that they're going to get into the United States. We will not turn them away. And somehow, that's going to be, they're going to say, oh, well, they said no, we shouldn't send them, but if we do, they'll take them in. Excuse me. Now, here's a little dirty little secret that a lot of people don't realize or understand about, especially about this administration and the Democrats in general. The Biden administration itself does not have people down there on the other side of the border and down into South America and Central America. They don't have people down there themselves, their own people down there telling people what to do. They have organizations. You've heard of ACORN. You've heard of organizations like that. Those organizations, and of course, ACORN was busted up because of some undercover investigation that was going on there. There was some heinous stuff going on with them. So they broke up that organization. However, that organization, they just broke it up into smaller pieces and called it something else. So the organization is still there, and they still get government. All those little organizations get government funding. When you talk about a stimulus bill of $1.9 trillion and all these different little organizations that are getting money, getting funding, that's what we're talking about. All the little pet organizations like that helped out with the election, it's payola, it's paybacks. Whenever you see a big, huge stimulus check like that's not changing anything in the nation. Just like the shovel-ready jobs. That was a farce. I knew it when they said it, because this is the standard MO. There's no way the government can spend enough money to actually stimulate the government. The only thing that they can do is reduce regulation and taxes. That stimulates growth. That's exactly what Reagan did. It's exactly what Trump did. Because that covers everybody. And it increases, and it grows the GDP. It grows our production. You provide an environment for people to flourish, and they will flourish. They will produce. And that helps everybody. Rising tide raises all ships. If you start scattering money out to certain individuals and certain organizations, it only helps certain people. And you're sprinkling the money around all over the place. And, of course, that's what happens with it. It's just you continue to sprinkle it around. So these organizations that are down through South America, they're the ones who are providing the T-shirts. They're the ones who are providing the education to these people to tell them how to get across the border, what to say when you enter the border. Make sure you say this. Make sure you say that. And so you have these caravans. You have these mass amounts of people invading, basically. So you'll have these organizations down through Central and South America who are providing information and basically saying, you know, send your children now. If you send your children, they'll take them in and they won't turn them away. They will not be abandoned there. So they're traveling with the caravans. And of course, who knows what's happening to them on those caravans? Especially if coyotes or smugglers are involved. Because these are nefarious people. They're ruthless and they have no sense of right or wrong. They only want money. and there's a lot of bad hombres among them. You can count on that. Wherever there's a group of people, there's probably a bad one or two or more. And so they're encouraging this behavior. And this cannot end well. And then you're placing all these kids with people, with families, I guess, I'm assuming, or social workers. And again, it's just disaster. This is just a disaster. It's tragic in terms of what's going to happen with these kids. Sure, they may have a better life here because of what they had to go through there. Very possible. But the reality of it is they are going to have a very difficult life. And probably mentally, socially, be damaged in some way. Probably. It's hard to tell. I mean, I hate to speak that over them, but it's the reality of it is we're ushering kids into a bad situation when we really should be focusing on ways to get them here legally and properly. It's just pretty much, it's really sad. So the administration marches on, and so that's going to happen. The headline that I read made it sound like the Department of Homeland, the Secretary of Homeland Defense, or the Department of Homeland Security, whatever it is, whatever he's the Secretary of, he made it sound like he just said, send your kids, we'll take care of them. That's not what he said, but it is what he said. it's not exactly what he said, but it really, that's the way it's going to be taken. And the people who are down there telling them to send their kids, they understand full well what the guy said. Yeah, just get them to the border. They'll take them in and they'll be good. And then when they grow up and get old enough, they can invite you to America and you can stay there and you just walk in and stay. And you can retire there. And that happens a lot. That happens a lot. It happened in my neighborhood. A couple that they were older. They were obviously the pawpaw. They were grandma and grandpa. Came in. They were living with a family, and they couldn't speak at all, and no English whatsoever. Obviously, had not spent much time here in the United States, and they lived there for years. Nice people, no problem with them. Just obviously not here legally. But I digress. On to another subject. Let's talk about Ford, the Ford Motor Company. I think it was the United Auto Workers, I believe, endorsed Joe Biden. Good for them. Good for them, because that's what you pay a union for, right? You pay a union for getting, you know, taking your money and politically endorsing people and giving to the party that you don't necessarily support. And they are there to provide collective bargaining on your behalf with a company, and then they get involved in all kinds of other things. And they do a lot of golfing, but I digress from that. Otherwise, I'll end up with Jimmy Hoffa somewhere feeding the fishes. Ford had a $900 million, I believe it was, project of some kind, almost $1 billion. They were investing in a project, some kind of a project in Detroit, I believe. And they've decided now, because of the new policies, the way things are working now, they're going to go ahead and move that project to Mexico. How convenient. And, of course, the administration is not pushing back on that. Now, if this would have happened under the Trump administration, I'm not just going to, you know, look back and say, oh, how good it could have been. But that's what I'm doing. I'm just saying that the difference is in it's a very sharp contrast with what would have been done under the Trump administration. They would have fought tooth and nail to try to change their minds on this. But you don't hear that from the Biden administration, which is weird because the unions back the Democrats by and large. And yet they say nothing. Because you see, once they're in power, they don't care about that. You know, they want to say that they represent you when they don't. They want to, we represent you. We know you. We represent you. Yeah, you're our constituents. And then they turn their back on you once you are on the plantation. Yeah. So that's happening. And then you get Fossey. This was a pretty good exchange. I have to admit, Rand Paul, I think I mentioned this before, but Rand Paul had a little back and forth with Mr. Fossey, or Fauci, or whatever his name is.
And the little guy who wants to rule the world.
And Rand had a very good point in this whole thing. Fossey said, well,
there's variants. We don't know what the variants are. We don't have any here yet. But, you know, we have to wear masks because
even though you've been vaccinated, he wants you to wear a mask, two masks, because he thinks that's important. And basically what he's saying is, you know, and what Rand was basically trying to show was that there's no evidence that once you get vaccinated or if you've had the virus, that your body develops an immunity to it. And he was very good in citing some studies. Rand pulled out the scientific data, which Fossey didn't have. All he had was an opinion. And the thing that he really attacked, and I think that it's important to realize, I think the real point that he made, and I think that was probably the most valid and really stuck out the most, was we're basing wearing masks on the possibility that something might happen. Well, you could do a lot with that. Everyone should probably wear a helmet just in case they fall down or something falls on their head. You should probably wrap yourself in bubble wrap. You know, 24/7, just in case. You should probably not drive in a car. You probably shouldn't walk across the street. Just in case. You know, there's a thing called life, and you just got to get out there and live it. And at some point, you weigh the risk, and you step out into it if that's what you choose to do. You know, far more people died in car accidents in 2020 than died from COVID. I think, I don't know. We have to look at that statistic there. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. I'd have to look that up. But I guarantee you, COVID, well, this much I do know. COVID was not the number one killer in 2020. Plenty of people died of other things. And yet you wouldn't know that. You would think that everybody was, and of course, the way they made the statistics, you could die of a gunshot wound and you know, that was COVID. There's a difference between dying with it and dying from it. And that was the point that they were kind of trying to mess with those numbers. So Fossey got into this big exchange with Rand Paul. And in my opinion, Rand circles around the guy, in my opinion. He was, you know, Fossey had some good points. But he didn't present anything other than what might happen, or the conjecture, the hypothesis, the supposition that, you know, it could happen. So we need to keep wearing masks for a couple more years, even after you take the vaccine. And we're going to have to come up with more vaccines to, you know, cure the variants. Even though there's no evidence at this point that anyone who's been vaccinated or who has had the regular virus has gotten the variant. And in fact, there's very few people who've gotten confirmed cases. And he made this very clear, which I was under the impression that people, several people had gotten it twice, more than once. But apparently that it's true that the number of people who've had the disease more than once, it's very rare. It's extremely rare. The number of cases within children are extremely low, like almost nothing. It's ridiculous. And in the, you know, the death rate's ridiculously low. Now, on that same note, if it was such a serious thing, then why is it that they're estimating now that just over 50% of the migrants that are coming into migrants, the border crashers that are coming across the border, are being released into the society, have COVID, have been testing positive, and we're just letting them go. And the variants are in other countries. Of course, we're going to have those variants here now. It's almost as if they want... Is it just me? Or is there something really, really weird going on? Has anybody else noticed this? It just seems really weird to me. This whole thing, it would just... you know, it's a global thing. It was global right off the bat. We shut down the entire world because of this thing. Now, the problem I had with shutting down the country was that, you know, it wasn't all over the country when we first shut the country down. I think the impression was that everybody, you know, because we think that the world is really small, it's not too big. It's a big country, and we shut down the entire country. Well, there are places that don't even have it yet, and somehow we're supposed to shut down everything, and it's supposed to go away in 2 weeks. We're now celebrating just over a year of shutting down for 2 weeks. We're still shut down in a lot of places. Well, thank goodness there's some states that have realized that this is ridiculous. And it is just what it is. Some of the most locked down states have had some of the highest rates. And there's not any evidence that one state over another, that one state that locks down or one state that doesn't lock down is necessarily any better. Fauci is a virologist. He's not an epidemiologist. Now, you might know some things about epidemiology, epidemics. But he's not. He understands viruses pretty well, I think. I don't know. I think this guy's been, and why is there only one expert on this? Why is he the one guy? Now, they had Burke up there because I think they just wanted to have a woman up there. I think she probably could have spoke by herself. She probably knew more than Fauci did. In my opinion, she seemed to be more intelligent in terms of knowing what was going on than Fauci did. Fauci just kind of talks. And now you got him talking about masks as if they're... Now, people are being arrested for not wearing a mask. And at the beginning, it was, don't wear a mask. Now you have to wear a mask. Well, now you got to wear two. It just makes common sense that another layer, you know. No, not necessarily if you understand physics, because if you put too many layers on, now the air all starts going out the sides of the mask, and it's not going to go through the material. Why don't you just duct tape a pillow to your face? I think Mr. Fauci should try that first. Why don't you do that, Mr. Fauci? Just get a big old pillow. Get a MyPillow and the big size, the big one. Wrap it around your head and duct tape it shut. How's that work? Try that out for a couple of years, and let's see how that works for you. Come back and talk to us later, if you can. That's kind of how ridiculous this whole thing's gotten. Yeah. I guess that there was a vote in the committee. This is almost disgusting. The Intelligence Committee now, I guess, in the Congress, decided that they were going to vote whether or not to keep Swalwell on the Intel Committee. And... Two Republican congressmen voted present or absent or something. I guess they weren't even there. They didn't even vote one way or the other. It was basically a nulled vote. So of course the Democrat. I don't know if there was a. I think it was like a tie type thing. My understanding is if the Republicans would have voted, they would have won. They would have gotten Swalwell off the committee. But for some reason, Swalwell will remain on the committee. Now, this is the guy who was, for years, had a relationship with a Chinese spy. This is the same guy who, for years, kept telling us that the Russia hoax was not a hoax. It was real. There was evidence. Well, we just weren't seeing it. It was right there in plain sight, but nobody could see it. And of course, when the investigation was complete, there was nothing there. But Swalwell said there was. This is the same guy. And we're supposed to just be okay with all this. I don't know what the deep staters have on some of these Republicans that were on the Intel committee. I'd like to find out who these people were. And I probably will. But to me, it's just disgusting that they wouldn't take some kind of action. And now they're going after Marjorie Taylor Greene again. They're trying to get her ousted, basically trying to reject her from Congress and trying to unseat her now and send her back, basically get her impeached because she presents a danger to the Congress. And this, I think, is more of an affront. If she was my representative, I would be livid. My understanding is that it's a guy from California that's leading the charge on this, who's going after her and got this resolution to try to get rid of her. And I find that to be very just disgusting. You know, what are the when the people voted for her, they knew what they were voting for. They sent their representative from them. What are you trying to tell those people? And she won handedly in her district. Over 60%. So what are you trying to say to at that point? They care about their little world and their democracy, but they don't care about the democracy. It's not about us. It's not about us, the voters. They don't care about the voters. They just care about their power. That's democracy, is their power. When the Democrats are in charge, that's democracy. That's how ridiculously insane that people are. So they're keeping him in power, and you know, there you go. Apparently, this little kerfuffle going on between North Korea and China, and I think there's about four countries involved in some of this stuff that the Biden administration has been kind of ticking some people off. And apparently, North Korea, there was an attempt to talk to speak to North Korea, and it didn't go well. North Korea came back with some very derogatory, threatening remarks. Here we go again. And again, guess what happens? The Secretary of Defense yesterday came out with a statement and said, our military is ready to fight tonight. We're ready to go to war right now because of Korea's offensive remarks. Oh my goodness. I guess he's never heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But we're going to go to war over that. These guys are already there saber-rattling and destroying the relations we had between North Korea. You know, we had North Korea calmed down. All you have to do with this guy is play out the clock. Because he will eventually die. And eventually, whoever the leaders are that are there will eventually settle down. These people are not going to be around forever. Especially the way that guy eats. So, same thing with Saddam Hussein. They wouldn't have had, I think they could have just contained that guy for a long time, and we wouldn't have had to lose however many, was it a couple thousand soldiers we lost in Iraq, something like that. Some of the brightest and best we have. So one other point, I'll end the show with this one. A judge, there was this weird thing. They called Story Hour with a Tranny or whatever, Tranny Story Hour or whatever, that was put in place in the Wisconsin schools here in Wisconsin. I happen to be in Wisconsin right now. And these transvestites would come in and read stories to kids at schools. And that was a big deal. And I guess there was this one judge who was highly involved in this process here in Wisconsin. Well, I guess he's been arrested now because he and his partner, who had two adopted children, by the way, They found basically child pornography. He was involved in heavily involved in child pornography. So he's been arrested now. Go figure. What do you know? Who would have thunk it? But thanks for listening, everybody. I will have a show tomorrow morning. I should have one put out in the can before 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. Actually, 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time. So once again, thanks for listening, and thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everything. God bless, everybody. Have a good night.